All glories to the assembled devotees.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
All glories to Sri Guru and Varanga. Which chapter? Chapter 12. 12, okay. 12. The bookmark is in the, not in 12. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Verses 2 and 3, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Verse 2. Tasya janma mahabhute. Karmani cha mahatmanah. Nitanam cha yataiva sit. Sapretya gatavan yata. Chant. Tasya janma mahabhute. Karmani cha mahatmana. Nitanam cha yataivasi. Sapretya gatavan yata. Tasya cha mahabhute. Karmani cha mahatmana. Sapetya gatavan yata. Tasya janma mahabhute. Karmani cha mahatmana. Nitanam cha taivasi. Sapretya gatavan yata. Tasya janma mahabhute. Karmani cha mahatmana. Nitanam cha yataivasi. Sapretya gatavan yata. Tasya, he is of Maharaj Parikshit. Janma, birth. Mahabhute, of great intelligence. Karmani, activities. Ja, also. Mahatmana, of the great devotee. Nitanam, demise. Cha, also. Yata, as it was. Eva, of course. Asit, happened. Saha, he. Pritya, destination after death. Gatavan, achieved. Yata, as it were. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. How is the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee born in that womb? How did his death take place and what did he achieve after his death? Purport. The king of Hastinapur, now Delhi, used to be emperor of the world, at least till the time of the son of Emperor Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother, so he could certainly be saved from an untimely death due to the ill will of the son of a Brahmana. Because the age of Kali began to act just after the assumption of power by Maharaj Parikshit, the first sign of misgivings
was exhibited in the cursing of such a greatly intelligent and devoted king as Maharaj Parikshit. The king is the protector of the helpless citizens, and their welfare, peace, and prosperity depend on him. Unfortunately, by the instigation of the fallen age of Kali, an unfortunate Brahmana's son was employed to condemn the innocent Maharaj Parikshit, and so the king had to prepare himself for death within 7 days. Maharaj Parikshit is especially famous as one who was protected by Vishnu, and when he was unduly cursed by a Brahmana's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him, but he did not want to because he was a pure devotee. A pure devotee never asked the Lord for any undue favor. Maharaj Parikshit knew that the curse of the Brahmana's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew, but he did not want to counteract it because he knew also the age of Kali had begun, and that the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of the highly talented Brahmin community, had also begun. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. Being fortunate, he got at least 7 days to prepare himself to meet death, and so he properly utilized the time in association of Shukadeva Goswami, the great saint and devotee of the Lord. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langate kirim yaki panta maham vande shi gurum divatarinam om agyana timarandasya agyanam janam shalakaya chakshu militam yena tasama shi gurave namaha. So this Parikshit is being described in this verse, in this purport. In the verse, there's two Sanskrit words, Mahabuddhi, very, very intelligent, so much buddhi, and Mahatma, he's a great, great soul. Mahatma, broad-minded soul. So what are the symptoms of this this Mahabuddhi and Mahatma? What are the symptoms? How do we know somebody is very intelligent and a great Mahatma? What was his behavior when he heard he was cursed to die in 7 days? Did he say, why me? No. And so his reaction was, sadhu mene, very good news. This is such good news. Would anybody say that? If they heard you're going to die in 7 days? Wow, great. Unless you're suicidal or something, you know. But not, no, this is very different. So in the purport of that, actually, Kepto 1, chapter 19, verse 4, this was the verse where he said, this is good news, it's going to be coming in the future. So Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of the Lord and a bona fide candidate for entering into the kingdom of God. But even though he was so, his material assets as the emperor of the world were setbacks to perfect attainment of his rightful status as one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. So, yeah, it wasn't easy if you're the emperor of the world to go back to Godhead, I guess. And so we don't have that problem. But as a devotee of the Lord, he could understand the cursing by the Brahmin boy, although unwise, was a blessing upon him, being the cause of detachment from worldly affairs, both political and social. So Pariksha, he's an example of a devotee just doing his duty in this world, but at the same time, he's eagerly waiting for the chance to engage in spiritual life and go back to Godhead. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another example of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was born in a very, very rich family. But Lord Chaitanya, and he was always eager to leave home and go join Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya gave him some instructions how to live, actually, in this world. He did meet Lord Chaitanya for 7 days in Shantipur, and he was thinking, how will I be able to get free from the watchmen? How can I go with Lord Chaitanya to Puri? So Lord Chaitanya was omniscient, and this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 16. He could understand Raghunath Das's mind, so he instructed him with the following reassuring words: be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you'll be able to cross the ocean of material existence. So here's a very interesting statement by Prabhupada. One, and this may apply to us. One may be very eager to cross this ocean, but he cannot attain success by acting like a madman. All right, so we have to be sane. It's one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. He must swim over the ocean very patiently and intelligently under the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative. Then one day, he'll reach the shore and return home back to Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya said, you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. Within your heart, keep yourself very faithful, but externally, you may behave like an ordinary man. And Krishna will very soon be pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. So another example of a devotee being a victim of unjust actions, but accepting it as mercy, was Vidura. He was kicked out of the palace. The verse says he was pierced by arrows through his ears. Anybody had that experience where you're pierced by arrows through your ears? And afflicted to the core of his heart. He put his bow on the door and left the palace. And he was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. So Prabhupada explains that a pure devotee is never disturbed by awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. So we might be in awkward positions here, but we should not be disturbed. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, was making progress on the path to his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme, but he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. Devotees always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the palace and devote himself completely to transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana. You know, he's thinking, oh wow, mercy of Duryodhana. This is Duryodhana's mercy. I mean, Duryodhana was not a merciful person. Instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place, fully engaged in devotional service of the Lord. Okay. So now in this purport, Prabhupada says, Parikshit is especially famous as one protected by Vishnu. And he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord. He could have prayed and said, okay, you know, this is unjust. I'm the king. I want to protect the citizens. So please undo the curse. But Prabhupada said he did not want to because he was a pure devotee. Pure devotee never asked the Lord for any undue favor. Now, I'm cursed to die. This is not an undue favor, you know, this is death. But he's thinking, no, this is not. And another very interesting thing that happened here is his feeling towards Shamika Rishi, who was the cause of his death. And so he didn't want to cause harm to anyone. He felt bad for the sage, just like Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten. He was praying for those who were beating him. So how did Parikshit, here in verse 4, that same verse I read, Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit could have gone to the sage to beg his pardon, but the news of imminent death was conveyed to the king with so much regret by the sage, the king did not want to shame the Muni further by his presence there. He saw how the Muni, Shamika Rishi, was so upset about the curse that his son did, and so he didn't want to go and disturb him more and make him feel worse. So he decided to prepare himself for his imminent death and find out the way to go back to Godhead. So he thought, better I die than disturb the sage. Can you believe that? How a devotee feels. Better let me die instead of disturbing someone. Oh, that's pretty extreme. I don't think we're ready for that. So back in the purport of this verse, he did not want to interfere. Now here's another reason why he didn't change the curse. He did not want to interfere with the current of the time. Okay, Prabhupada says, Parikshit knew the curse of the Brahmana's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew, but he did not want to counteract it because he knew also the age of Kali had begun, and the first symptom of the age Then the degradation of the highly talented Brahmana community had also begun. So he did, okay, it's Kali Yuga, you know, and now let it happen. Let it go, let it be. Let it be, it's Kali Yuga. Of course, we shouldn't think like that, but we shouldn't imitate Maharshi Pariksit, because he had the power to counteract it. We don't really, unless we go in Harinam maybe. So there was a verse in the 18th chapter, will be in the 18th chapter of this canto, how he, you know, because he didn't kill Kali, he let him live. Why did he let him live? So here's a reason. It's 18th chapter, verse 7. Maharshi Pariksit was a realist like the bee who accepts only the essence of a flower. He knew perfectly well that in this age of Kali, auspicious acts produce good effects immediately, whereas inauspicious acts must be actually performed to render effects. So he was never envious of the personality of Kali. The Prabhupada explains, by the will of the Lord, a living being does not become a victim of a sinful act until the act is actually performed. In other ages, simply by thinking of performing a sinful act, one used to become a victim of the act. You get the reaction for thinking. Can you imagine where we would be today if we got the reaction from all the thoughts we had? On the contrary, a living being in this age is awarded with the results of pious acts simply by thinking of them. So positive thought, positive thinking, very, very important. You will get the results just by thinking positively and doing devotional service also in your mind. Maharshi Pariksit, being the most learned and experienced king by the grace of the Lord, was not unnecessarily envious of the personality of Kali, because the king did not intend to give him any chance to perform any sinful act. The king protected his subjects from falling prey to the sinful acts of the age of Kali. And at the same time, he gave full facility to the personality of Kali by allotting him some particular places. At the end of Bhagavatam, it is said, even though all nefarious activities of the personality of Kali are present, there is a great advantage in the age of Kali. One can attain salvation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So thus, Maharshi Pariksit made an organized effort to propagate chanting of the Lord's holy name. Thus, he saved the citizens from the clutches of Kali. Can you imagine? There was even Maharshi Pariksit was doing Harinam. He was doing Harinam. And that's how he protected the citizens. Isn't that amazing? So we need to do Harinam to protect the citizens. It is for this advantage only that great sages sometimes wish all good for the age of Kali. And the Vedas also, it is said, by discourse on Lord Krishna's activities, one can get rid of all disadvantages of the age of Kali. In beginning of Bhagavatam, it is said, by recitation of Bhagavatam, Supreme Lord becomes at once arrested within one's heart. So we must arrest Krishna in our heart. Don't let him go out by hearing Bhagavatam and reciting Bhagavatam. These are some of the great advantages of the age of Kali, and Maharshi Pariksit took all the advantages and did not think any ill of the personality of Kali, true to his Vaishnava cult. So that was the, he was considering time, place, and circumstance. That was a symptom. And now the third symptom of his great intelligence and being a Mahatma, he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully. So in the 19th chapter, he said, O Brahmanas, just accept me as the completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So Prabhupada explains that verse. As soon as one is given up completely to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by presence of great devotees of the Lord in the bank of the Ganges and Maharshi Pariksit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. Then he said to the sages, again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray, if I should again take my birth in the material world, I'll have complete attachment to unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. In other words, he wanted to be a preacher. Madhyam, Madhyamadhikari. He's attached to Krishna. He's friendship with devotees, and he helps all living beings. He preaches. So that's, these are the symptoms. He wanted to, he said, if I have to take birth, let me be a preacher. So now we'll read verse 3.
Tad idam shotam ichamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shatatananam yasakyana adachika.
We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Parikshit during the remaining 7 days of his life, and Maharaj Parikshit heard him properly just like an ardent student. The effect of such a bona fide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. Both of them were benefited. Out of the 9 different transcendental means of devotional service to the Lord prescribed in Bhagavatam, either all of them, or some of them, or even one of them, are equally beneficial if properly discharged. Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami are serious performers of the first two important items, namely, process of chanting and process of hearing, and therefore both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting, and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by an electric current generated by the master, and the disciple begins to feel the shock. He becomes unconscious, and the master weeps for his exhausting his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales in the dealings of Shukadeva Goswami and his great disciple, Maharaj Parikshit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the great king heard him properly. The king did not feel any shock of electrical current from his master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not therefore become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by bogus representatives of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Parikshit because of his receiving knowledge from Shukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. So this is underlined, ardent hearing. It's in italics. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism for miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve desired results. So we heard Prabhupada said, mystic means misty. It is not mystical. So let us go back here to our lecture. So actually, hearing and chanting, this ardent hearing. Ardent hearing. Well, what does it mean to hear ardently? Well, of course, there are two main things that we hear and chant, and that's our holy name, Harinam, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Two things that we are hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada said in one lecture, everyone is thinking, oh, so many problems I have to solve. Have to do this, have to do that. But he has no problem. His only problem is how to accept Krishna. Okay, so if you think you have a lot of problems, it's all one. And Krishna is so kind. He says, yes, you accept me. Simply chant Krishna and I'm yours. Isn't that nice? Krishna's asking us. When we chant, we say, please accept me, please accept me. And Krishna's also saying, please accept me, please accept me. So that's our problem. But I'm so unfortunate, I cannot even chant. Prabhupada says, all problems solved simply by chanting Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshastika, says, oh Krishna, you are so kind, you have come to me in the sound vibration, Krishna. I can very easily chant, and you remain with me. But I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction, even for this. You tell people, you chant Krishna, you'll get everything, and they will not believe it. So this was a room conversation in 1969. So chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam support each other. As Prabhupada said, Sankirtan will make you happy and reading my books will keep you convinced. And so, my experience of chanting is that, you know, I may not be very intelligent, but the super soul is a reservoir of intelligence. And if I need some more intelligence, I just chant. And I have that experience when I was teaching the Bhaktivedanta course. I would sometimes not understand a verse of Bhagavatam I would have to teach. And so I would read the verse, and then I would chant one round. And then I would get so much more understanding of what I had to. And one time I did a whole chapter, chanted a whole 16 rounds. It was the chapter about time in the third canto. It's a very complicated chapter. You know, you start with a few seconds, the atom goes like this and changes. And so then after that, I chanted all my 16 rounds, I got a whole chart of the time, of the different times and how they related. And I thought, okay, great. Thank you, Krishna. so it works. But we should not use it for, it happens for your material things too, like, well, not even material, but Prabhupada told the artist that they would understand how to paint by chanting. And yes. But anyway, Sanatana Goswami glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Sarvashastabdi Piyusha, O nectar churned from the ocean of all Vedic literature. So there's an ocean, not just of water, but there's an ocean of the Vedas. It's like a huge ocean. If you go to the heavenly planets in Brahmaloka, 1 billion verses are there in the Vedas, and Bhagavatam is included, Mahabharata, all of them are in those 1 billion verses. The Puranas, everything is there. 1 billion, so that's an ocean. But where is the nectar? The nectar is Srimad Bhagavatam. When they churned the ocean of milk, the nectar came out. The nectar of immortality, the medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. And when we churn the Vedas, we get Bhagavatam. When we churn the Vedas, Bhagavatam comes out. That's the nectar from the Vedas. And it's the essence because it describes Krishna. Then Sanatana Goswami says, Sarva Vedaika Satphala, most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas. So first, in the third verse of Bhagavatam, Nigama Kapataro Galitam Phalam Shukha Mukara Mita Davasam Mitam Pivata Bhagavatam Vatsam Alayam Mohara Hora Sikha Bhuvi Bhagavakaha. That Bhagavatam, drink Bhagavatam, mature fruit of desire tree of Vedic literature. So the Vedas are compared to an ocean. The Vedas are compared to a desire tree. You can get everything you want from the Vedas. And what's the mature fruit on that tree? It's Srimad Bhagavatam. So beautiful, beautiful analogies by Sanatana Goswami. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnatya. You have all the jewels of spiritual, philosophical conclusion. So lots of jewels in Srimad Bhagavatam. What are some of the jewels? The meaning of Vedanta Sutra is present in Bhagavatam, the purport of Mahabharata is there, the commentary on Brahma Gayatri is there, because we have the word Dhimahi in the first verse. And so Gita is the essence of Mahabharata, and Mahabharata is like a seed, and Bhagavatam is like a plant, and flowers and fruits are coming from that seed. And so that's how it's the purport of Mahabharata. And in this first canto, third chapter, it says, Sarva Vede Tihasanam Saram Saram Samudritam, the essence of all Vedic literature, all histories collected in Bhagavatam. The essence, and Vedanta also, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi, Srimad Bhagavatam Ishate. Whoever tastes this is never attracted to any other literature. It's a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra as well. It's a natural commentary. Vyasadeva first conceived of this in subtle form in his mind, then he summarized it as Vedanta Sutta, and then he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutta at Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Lokaika Jikpada, you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. And so there's that verse that we have lost our vision, but Bhagavatam will give us light to see. Then he says, Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. It's our breath. Bhagavatam is our breath. Prabhupada says in a lecture, don't waste time. As much as possible, try to hear Bhagavatam, the Vaishnavanam Priyam, very dear to the Vaishnavas. In Vrindavan, you'll find they're always reading Bhagavatam. That is their life and soul. And Bhagavatam is so nice. If you practice anywhere, any condition, simply by reading Bhagavatam, you will be happy. You are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are Lord Krishna who has returned among us. So we got Krishna with us here. Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you hear attentively, you will see Krishna in the pages. Now there is another verse in Bhagavatam that it is, this Bhagavatam is brilliant as the sun has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his abode. So this is, we have that one sun is the Bhagavatam, another sun is the holy name, and there's another sun, and that's Lord Chaitanya. And there's a moon, Nityananda. So we have so many suns in Kali Yuga, there's no excuse to be blind, to not see. We can take advantage of all these suns. Kali is darkness. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is Sabande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita Gaudadai Pushwanta Chitta Sanda Tamanto. I offer respectful obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So this sun, which we see now out there, this will dissipate the darkness. We can see objects like plates and bowls, pots and plates, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But these two brothers, Gonitai, can dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart. And then they help us to meet the two Bhagavatas, Book Bhagavat, Devotee Bhagavat. And these two Bhagavatas give bhakti. And when we get bhakti, we control Krishna. So then Sanatana Goswami continues, Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshya Kshalayate. O Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. So Prabhupada said in the lecture, each and every word of Bhagavatam, full of volumes of meaning. Full of volumes. And also, with Shri Kirti, he was reading Krishna book, and he said, if you just read this one book, you'll be Krishna conscious. And then he said, well, if you just read one chapter, you'll be Krishna conscious. He said, if you just read one page, you'll be Krishna conscious. Then he said, if you just read one line, you'll be Krishna conscious. And he said, if you just read one word, you'll be Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada said, every word has so much meaning in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has also said, if you chant a chapter a day for 1 year, you'll become a learned scholar. So I did that. I chanted a chapter a day for 1 year. Now, you don't have to do a whole chapter. I didn't even do a whole chapter. I would just do like prayers from here, prayers from there. I didn't do every chapter. But I did, I like the prayers especially and the important verses, so I would just do the important verses from a chapter. And yeah, and then I started teaching Bhagavatam after that, Bhakti Hai Bhava Bhakti Vedanta courses. So this is, you can do, something you can do, maybe, if you want to be a learned scholar in Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita ends. Gita kicks out all religion, give up sarva dharma pritta jamami kam sharanam raja. Give up all types of religiosity, just surrender to me. And Bhagavatam starts there at the second verse. Bhagavatam says, dharma projito kaito vatra. All cheating religions are kicked out, including dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So there's a connection between Gita and Bhagavatam. Then Sanatana Goswami says, Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. You're always to be served by everyone, For you are an incarnation of Krishna. Yes, we're meant to worship Krishna. Jivarshadupoi, Krishna Nijadas. We are servant of Krishna. Tatvasandarbha says, what is the use of collecting hundreds or thousands of other scriptures? If someone living in Kali Yuga does not have Bhagavatam in his home, how can be considered a Vaishnava? Wherever Bhagavatam is present, Lord Hari will go along with 13 principal demigods. Anyone who daily reads Bhagavatam one verse will get the benefits of studying all 18 Puranas. So we did our thing today. We studied all the 18 Puranas today. We did two verses, so we did it twice. All the 18 Puranas. We did two verses today. So then Sanatana Goswami says, Mareka Bandha Matsangin, O Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion. Madguru man mahatana, my teacher, my great wealth. Man starakamad bhagya, my deliverer, my good fortune. Maranandam mostite, O my bliss, I offer my special obeisances unto you. So Tatvasandarbha says, the Vedas, Puranas, and poetic works instruct one like a master, friend, or beloved, respectively. But Bhagavatam instructs like all three. So the Vedas are heavy. You have to follow without question. That's the Vedas. You're expected to obey. The Puranas instruct like a friend, stories with moral conclusions, reasoned explanations. And the poetic literature gives counsel like a beloved lady, speaking sweetly but indirectly. So we have all of those in Srimad Bhagavatam. The first one, I give an example of the heavy, like a guru. The second verse is, you know, we are throwing out all cheating religions from this Bhagavatam. And Narada also chastising Vyas. You wrote Vedanta Sutta, all these, you know, but you have not glorified Krishna enough. So then as a friend, Bhagavatam is telling so many stories, Narada telling the story of his life, Dhruva Maharaj, with the moral of the story of Dhruva Maharaj, yes, if you need to get something from this world, then worship Krishna by all means. And by the time you finish worshiping Krishna, you won't want the thing of this world, and you'll just want Krishna. But you'll still get the thing of this world too, even though you don't want it. So be careful what you pray for. And then poetic. Poetic is like the three, like the gopis, gopiki. Jai te tikam. Janmana Vraja Shayat Indira Shashvaratvahi Daita Jishatam Dikshatavakas Taitita Savastam Vikindate. The gopi said, O beloved, your birth in the land of Raj has made it exceedingly glorious. And so as Indira, goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. And then the last verse, Sanatana Goswami says, Asadu sadhaka dayena tinicha chataraka. O Bhagavatam, giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. O uplifter of the very fallen. And so we are very fallen, and Bhagavatam can bring us up. It can uplift us. As the second verse, of Bhagavatam. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears a message of Bhagavatam, the Lord is established in his heart. So we can arrest Krishna in the heart. So Prabhupada says, in that purport, one must be anxious to hear the message of Bhagavatam. Desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. One becomes qualified to hear Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. The intelligent person can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Bhagavatam without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas. That means Varnashram, you have to be a Brahmana, a Shudra for so many verses, and then a Vaishan, and this and that Brahmana, finally, for so many verses. But without going through that, one can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahansa, simply by agreeing to receive this message. So this is Paramahansa Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam. But even if we're not Paramahansas, we can become so by having anxiety to hear. So finally, Sanatana Goswami says, Hanuman Chikada Chamyan, Hanuman Chikada Chinmam, Premna Hitkandayo Swara. Please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami is praying to keep Bhagavatam always with him, finally to realize Bhagavatam with words and heart. So this is the aim of hearing Bhagavatam, experience Bhagavatam as our friend, our guru, and to actually have a change of heart. So I'll stop here. If there's any questions, you can ask at this point. Yes, Sukhada. I think I went pretty fast because there were two verses. And a lot to say.
So a couple questions. One, like you don't ask Krishna, you shouldn't pray for anything, really, right?
Yes.
Although, like, even Mother Yasoda with baby Krishna, there's all those prayers, protection of the children. And in the purport to those prayers, Prabhupada, he recommends saying those prayers. Instead, they can give the greatest protection from the greatest dangers. So I always say them every day.
Which prayers you say?
Prayers for protection of the children.
Oh, yeah.
That Mother Yasoda said for Krishna. Yeah.
Yes, yes. We do pray for, we're not on the level of Maharaj Parikshit. we're not actually Mahatmas. I mean, we are Mahatmas, but we're not on his level of Mahatma. We're not on his level. We're also pure devotees, but we're not on the level of Srila Prabhupada and Maharaj Parikshit. So we do pray for protection. And Bhagavatam gives us prayers for protection.
Mm-hmm.
It gives
us
prayers.
Yeah.
What is that? Narayana Kavacha.
Mm-hmm.
I also pray that every day.
And the the Shin Kavacha, that's
Narayana Kavacha is in Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So yeah, I pray that. Because I was having sleep disturbances and that really helps.
Narayana Kavacha.
Say that before you sleep. Okay. Narayana Kavacha. Also the prayers of Gajendra is good for helping to sleep too.
Hmm.
So I would pray that. It says that in Bhagavatam, that you will be protected from bad dreams if you say these prayers before going to sleep. So it's there in Bhagavatam, so I take advantage of it. That's accepted. And we pray to Nrisimhadev, of course. We're taught to pray to Nrisimhadev. Prabhupada taught us to pray to Nrisimhadev when we're in danger, and it really works. So many stories of different devotees.
And then I also wanted to ask, like, I always remember that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is something that he had said, that everything's going along according to Krishna's perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that if someone thinks that there's any need of reform, that he himself is in need of reform.
Right.
You know? So that's like amazing. And, you know, just for example, like, how does it work that, so let's say someone's drinking alcohol and they cause a car accident and someone's killed, and I mean, there's still karma for the person that did that.
Right.
And there's, I guess, I mean, how does that work?
You're asking me how the laws of karma work? that is for Yamaraj to judge, but not for the devotees. It's Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens is Krishna.
Krishna.
I was just remembering Anand Manjari. I was reading her book, The Bond of Love, and her experience with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was saying, you know, everything that happens, happiness and distress, is coming from Krishna. All your happiness is coming from Krishna. And she raised her hand and she said, and the stress? And Prabhupada said, yes. Sometimes you get the rose and sometimes you get the thunderbolt from Krishna.
Yeah.
So yeah, for the devotee it's Krishna, for the non-devotee it's karma. That's so, How that works, like for example, if a cow is killed before its life is supposed to be, then does he have to you know, come back and finish that life. But Prabhupada, he did comment on one thing, that people who do abortion, people who, they will never see the light of day. They will be killed in the womb again and again. In their future births, they will be killed.
Yeah, I just read that this latest vaccine, you know, mm-hmm. Johnson & Johnson, that the Catholic Church was recommending that their congregation don't take it because it has the fetus mm-hmm. as part of the makeup.
Uh-huh.
So someone knowing that, if they get the shot, then is that...
Yeah.
Culpable.
Yes, that's a very hard decision to, I mean, hard mm-hmm. for somebody to decide that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I really can't say, but mm-hmm. it would seem if you knew something mm-hmm. that it has the fetus, then you would get a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You would get a reaction if you knowingly do it. But again, I can't really say the laws. I can't say what the laws of karma.
Thank you for a wonderful class. So much nectar. Appreciate it. Makes me want to like chant a chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam
every day.
And
all of it. You like read the Sanskrit, the English, and the purport, or just the English?
For me, it was the Sanskrit because I just like to sing. I would do it with the tambura.
Oh.
I didn't do English. Actually, for me, Sanskrit is easier than English.
But can you understand?
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, but I just like the sound. Sometimes I understand it because I know a lot of it. I know a lot of the prayers. It was mostly things that I knew. Sometimes I would understand what I'm chanting and sometimes I wouldn't, but I would feel very happy chanting. So sometimes we don't understand what we're doing, but the medicine works. Oh, I don't have my tambura here. It's in India. on the recordings, it's there, of Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Vedanta.
Kamani was saying you can get the tambura on the YouTube or
Oh, really? I never tried that before.
You can play the tambura on YouTube.
Uh-huh. Okay, you have a question, Varuna?
Well, you're talking about Prabhupada, that distress, happiness, Krishna gives happiness, he also gives distress.
Yeah.
I was just listening to a lecture by Prabhupada he gave in 67, and he was talking to a very young audience, and he was telling them about happiness and distress, mm-hmm. and the Matras Parshas to Kunteya, and then he says, if you become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will take over your happiness and distress. So if you get suffering, it's coming from Krishna.
Right.
And then Prabhupada, like, these were so young people, then Prabhupada quoted Tatte Anukampam. So he went right away to the 10th canto.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know.
So. Yeah. I was hearing a lecture or reading something Prabhupada said, I think it was in a purport actually. Yeah, it was Bali Maharaj. We were reading Bali Maharaj. And Prabhupada was saying how, you know, Vamana took everything away, but then he gave him Sutala, which is, he said, is desired by the demigods. It's better than the heavenly planets. Even though it's a lower planet, it's better. And then he's going to give him the heavenly planets in his next birth. In the next manu, he's going to get the heavenly planets.
How is it better?
There's no mental disturbance. There's no disease. There's no old age. That's like in heaven, too. But, yeah, there's no mental disturbance.
If there's no Krishna, right?
And Krishna's the doorman.
He's what?
Vamana's the doorman. So, nobody can enter. Nobody can... And then Prabhupada said a very interesting thing in the purport, that he said, Krishna takes away everything from you, but then he gives you so much more. He gives you so much more. And that was Bali, he gave so much more. Yeah. Yes?
You were talking about in class, you're talking about Parikshit and Vidura, that that they, even the reverse is they accepted as Krishna's mercy.
Right.
So I find that when, let's say someone says something to you and you don't like it, and so initially your response is like you want to talk back to them. But then if you have some intelligence, you just be quiet. But then your mind is still working through, how could he say this, or the process you're going through that. But somehow if we can, I find that if I can, in those times, quieten my mind down, then Krishna will reveal that to be quiet is better when someone is insulting you. And then you get some, you know, realizations. So.
Yeah, okay, good, good. Another thing is Bhishma, David instructs that we should forgive. So you can forgive them while they're insulting you. It's hard, though.
It says that's the most important quality of a devotee.
Yeah, of a brahmana and a devotee, yes. Forgiveness. You can forgive them. Like, Haridas was forgiving. He was more than forgiving. He was praying for them. It was like... Okay, was there anything on mine? No, okay. All right, Jaya, Gaurishtishu, Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.